Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 415 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Glennie's back.
He is.
Back again.
Yes.
Oh, see? Fucking hell. I was about to say how proud of us I am that nobody said back again.
Yeah.
It's just the thing.
Yeah.
As I said it, I was thinking ahead two lines trying to think of a way that I could fucking... Make the, you know, the second couplet, you know, something abusive, but
I'm sure
we'll get plenty of abuse in.
Yeah,
but you're back, mate. Everything good now? You good?
Yeah, it's getting there. We've got a little bit of a road ahead, but that's all. That's what we do.
On a scale of West Tigers to Penrith Panthers, how are things right now?
Gold Coast.
So I just for my personal clarification, you're saying like barely off zero? Is that what you're saying on that scale? I mean, that's like a one on the scale. If I was to assign numbers to that, yeah, like 0 through 10. Yeah.
Well, we're not the Tigers. Like
you're at a one or a two at the moment.
Yeah, we're not the Tigers, so we're not dead.
But while on paper everything should be fucking amazing, you're actually wondering where the fuck everything went wrong.
Exactly.
Yes.
Fair.
And are you paying one of your kids $1 million a year to do fuck all?
I feel like I am.
It's Mel Meninga screaming at you about culture.
Oh. Yeah.
Speaking about things going fucking going wrong and wondering where it went wrong, the NRL was like almost dead, but it's been saved again by the selfless Sydney clubs who will all be relocating to Queensland, Gold Coast, Brisbane, and Sunshine Coast for the next 4 weeks. And I think the next four rounds, that's probably
conservative.
That's the baseline because, like, New South Wales or Sydney could fucking raise the bat tomorrow for the ton of new COVIDs in a day.
Yeah.
They're in the 70s today, I think it was. So
77.
They could raise the bat tomorrow. And so, like, that's going to, I mean, not the, I mean the bat, you know, the batty bat, not the fucking flying bat.
Yeah, why are you going to raise that? You're supposed to be eating it.
The one used to murder children, not the bat that kills elderly of every nation.
Yes.
The bats operate on opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, they target.
Raising correct. The batty, if you will,
far more fatal on younger people. That one, but yeah, so. As a result, schedule TBA, but the next four rounds will be taking place, or teams will be relocating to New South Wales and the ACT teams will be relocating to these hubs in Queensland, southeast Queensland, and they'll be playing the home games at either Suncorp, Hope Solo, or the Sunshine Coast Stadium. And the Queensland clubs and Melbourne Storm, they'll continue to be based at home and play out of their current home cities. So obviously for the Gold Coast and Broncos, same. Same as the Sydney clubs. Now, we don't really do the news sort of thing, but I just figured it just came out sort of before we started recording, and also it's a short round of games as well, so I thought we may as well fucking have a quick chat about it. And like my obviously while I feel for our Sydney Twill Nation members who are locked down at the moment, and lockdowns fucking suck as we all know. Tell you for us, it's a NRL fan experience that, you know, we would have to move down to Sydney to be able to Mm. Because it's not even talking about our teams in particular. Like, it's any games. I mean, you know, they might throw, you know, Super Saturdays on at Suncorp, for example, and, you know, throw three games back to back, like a mini Magic Round day sort of situation. And, or, you know, it could be like living in Sydney, you know, you could be, you know, go down and watch, you know, say, for example, like Manly play on a Friday night at the Gold Coast, and then, you know, some play at Lang Park on the Saturday and someone up the Sunshine Coast on the Sunday.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
So, I'm pretty pumped about that. While at the same time, you know, respectful of our Sydney people who lockdowns. Lockdowns do fucking suck. Like, as on the aggregate, even though I fucking love lockdowns.
You've lived in lockdown far before anyone ate a bat.
Lockdown. I mean, I've been training for it for my entire life. And honestly, what it's done is improved my mental health, because I don't have to think of reasons not to do stuff when people ask me to. That's just like a whole mental load. This is a whole thing that's, you know, just off the shoulders. It's great. But yeah, I am looking forward to the footy over the next month, minimum. And then what's that take us through? It takes us through about the start of August, say.
Mm.
And then...
Well, there's only 8 weeks left. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but then you got another month of finals after that. So, I mean, it seems like it's still a long way away for talk about, you know, potentially the grand final being relocated to Brisbane. You know, it's something that they've wanted for ages but haven't been able to negotiate. And
if Melbourne makes it through
pandemic, yes.
Do you think they host it in Melbourne?
That's an interesting question, because
we do have
a situation where, being in Sydney every year, most of the sides based there in Sydney, you do get a fairly good chance of a Sydney side having essentially a home final.
Yeah.
I mean, Melbourne would be, unless they sort of moved it to the MCG or something, it would be literally a home final in their ground. But I mean, that's a much smaller affair, so they'd probably do it at the MCG to try and fill it up with people. Yeah,
bolster the numbers, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, just get as many as they could in there, just to, you know, generate some extra rev.
The only reason I ask, and I've got no idea what went on in the background, because the other thing that's obviously been affected here is state of origin.
Yes.
And instead of, I thought Melbourne would have been an almost obvious choice, simply because they missed it, but they also have a population that's been starved of events.
Yeah, true.
They've been through lockdown.
Yeah.
So just by saying, here is a thing, this is a big thing that you wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yeah.
I thought Melbourne would have been the obvious choice, but no.
Have you seen anything about tickets for the Origin game yet?
No, nothing yet. But then again, there hasn't been a full business day.
I went to the NRL website, and it was just like, you know, put your email in here to put yourself on the wait list. So, because I'm keen. I mean, while I hope that Manly aren't based out of Hope Solo, because, you know, Robina is, of the three stadiums, Robina is the cunt to get to.
Yeah.
Like, you can drive straight up to Kiwana.
Yeah, you can.
You know, and you can park.
How far is that from here? What's that, half hour?
Probably 40 minutes or something. It's not very far, yeah. And, you know, Suncorp, obviously, you know, you just get dropped off at the door by the train or the bus or whatever. Whereas, the Robina's a slightly longer drive, and then one stop on the train, and then walk for a kilometer from the train to the thing.
So bad. Everything about that stadium sucks.
They've got that bombed out, empty blocks of land all around it between the train station.
It's still there.
They could throw a fucking 6-floor multi-level car park on there, and that would probably fit everyone that would go to a Titans game ordinarily.
Well, they could just open it up and have a fucking park on the grass, like a bushwood carnival.
Yeah, that too.
You know?
Yeah.
A couple of fucking witches' hats, cunts. Jesus.
speaking of car parks, I digress.
We got the time tonight, so go.
we're trying to teach my young fella and my partner's boy some more responsibility. They're getting older, they're wanting more responsibility in their life. So their little mission today was I wrote them a shopping list, went down to the supermarket, and they were just to pretend I wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I was get.
Did you just sort of stay outside, or did you?
No, I was like 5 paces behind them.
Yeah, right, okay.
You know, just in case, because the chances of them bashing into some poor old lady's ankle with the trolley was fairly high. So just in case any of that shit went down.
Yeah.
But the best part of the whole thing happened before we even got into the supermarket. Parked the car. As I'm parking in, there's a car parked in the spot next to me.
Mm-hmm.
Young lady in there, on her, like, freshly on her P plates. So what are you when you're fresh on your P's? Like 17, 16, 17?
Mm. Yeah, somewhere like
17,
that.
17,
yeah. Her petrol door was open.
Yep.
And I've seen it as I'm reversing in out of my mirror. I've gone, oh, that girl's petrol flap's open. This, and you know, I asked the question, oh, why would she have left it open? And I said, oh, I don't know. Maybe sometimes the catch gets busted and it just won't stay shut. I didn't think any more of it. We've gotten out and she's got both her windows down in the car because she's in there bunging away on a durry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's put two and two together because he's a little fucking safety policeman. That
a cop.
If her... No, only about safety.
Oh, okay.
General crime. General crime, you don't give two shits about. But fucking safety is all about that. And so he's put together that with your little petrol flap open, having a durry.
That's bad news. Boom.
That's not safe. But it was a way in which he informed her of it, that he's just because he's just turned 7, and so he's gotten out of our car, gone to her and sort of popped his head up to the open passenger window and just gone, hey, I think your flaps are busted. And the look on her face as a 7-year-old boy has accused her of having busted flaps.
And obviously her face was to say, like, how did he know?
His kid. He's psychic.
Because I would assume that someone of that age smoking in this day and age, considering that the data was well and truly out in time for her parents before they even fucked to have her, to be smoking at age 17 now means you're, you know, you ran through, quite frankly. If you're smoking at 17, you ran through.
Yes.
It's the way
so just the sort of person I would expect to see parked at the Gold Coast at fucking Home Solo.
Anything else you want to bring to the table? And obviously, yeah, you're right, Origin moved as well, which did happen since... Did that happen? Did it happen before the last episode?
Happened before.
Okay. We already spoke about that, didn't we? Did we? Or maybe not.
I don't know. It was only yesterday or the day before.
Saturday night. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a quick turnaround.
Fuck's sake, can't try and keep up.
Oh, mate, it's just... You know, when you're on school, the holiday timetable and stuff like that, days just, you know, just seep into each other and you lose track of what's what. And,
yep.
Yeah. You know what I've seen. Your last week's been fucking special.
Yeah.
But
literally every day. What day is it today?
Yeah. I went through yesterday. Like,
today is back to the fucking hospital 6 times today.
I was so fucked up on knowing what day it was that yesterday morning I had to get a new coffee grinder and, in the morning at about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I pulled up at a shop and I saw the thing. It said Sunday, they're not open till 10. I was like, ah, fuck. And I literally went to get back in the car and I'm like, no, it's actually Saturday. It took me like a good fucking like 30 seconds ago. No, it's actually Saturday. Okay. I can go. Yeah, they are open after all. Oh, fuck. All right. Games. You got all your socials and everything ready?
Yes.
Stepdad. Excellent. Fucking what day was that? Thursday. All right, Thursday night. what am I fucking saying? This weekend's been fucking nuts. The Canberra Raiders 30 defeated the mighty Manly Seagulls 16. The scorers, Raiders, Sam Williams with a double, Tom Starling, Sebastian Chris, and Emre Guler with tries. Croker 5 conversions, Manly side. Dylan Walker, Omoli Olaklatu, and Moses Suli with tries. Garrick 2 of 3 conversions. Who wants to kick us off?
floor is yours. The floor is yours, my sugarcoating friend.
Well, this was fucking, this was legitimately fucked. Well, no, it was fucked, but on a scale of like, you know, on a scale of being fucked, it was like a scale of like, you know, being fucked by Glennie. Like it wasn't, it wasn't that deep. Like it was just a little bit fucked.
Oh, but it was as deep as I could go, Nathan.
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big mate.
It was just a little bit fucked. I mean, I feel like even like the demeanor of Desi afterwards, well, he wasn't, you know, too concerned about it. If anything, it did clarify the off contract status of several people who I imagine would have thought they were playing for a re up on their contract and shan't be getting one. But this was just a matter of Canberra playing a very simple game plan of not dropping the ball versus Manly, who were playing a very simple game plan of drop the ball every fucking time you have it, particularly through the likes of fucking plotters like fucking Jetski, who is the one I imagine that hasn't played for a while through injury, lost his place. Great guys like Homoli and everything came in his absence, cemented their spots, and once again, just through origin and injury depletion is the only way he got his start. And boy, he was fucking terrible in every aspect of the game. There were key tackles missed, dropped balls, fucking six agains. Like, just if any possible handbrake could be fucking made, he made it. And ultimately, there's just a weight of possession and just a sheer weight of possession. I mean, you know, just tries just happen because they're getting like fucking like five sets in a row at the line and all that sort of thing. So, I don't think we were ever in danger of scoring a fuck ton of points in this game, given that we had two running halves in the side, and no one like Daly who can kick out of trouble and just generally turn games around and everything, and just turn possession, or not possession, but field position around with kicks and things like that. And fucking Dylan Walker. Then you've got, not only you've got running halves, you've got one of them who's like just a fucking impulsive guy. Like we've seen from, you know, the whole fortnight and the pizza shop and all the rest of the thing, that Dylan Walker is just an impulsive human. And you're talking about the impulse control and the last couple of weeks we've been talking about in regards to, like, you know, the mental health and everything.
Yeah.
This guy is a guy who has zero impulse control and he takes it onto the field. And so he ran the ball more than he should. He, you know, tried shit, you know, like kicks that, you know, early that, you know, didn't come off. And, you know, absolutely hopeless in a position where he's not with a long kicking organizing halfback. So like I'm annoyed in the sense that this was, you know, 2 points that, you know, would have been handy on the ladder, but at the same time, just due to the results around us, it was also 2 points that didn't cost us, you know, didn't cost us this week not to have them. So
yeah, you know, I don't think the loss is a huge factor for Manly. Obviously they would have preferred to win, but I think for Canberra though, given how they've been going, they showed some signs in this game and got a bit of confidence out of, you know, beating, albeit an understrength Manly, but, you know, I think it could be a catalyst for a bit of a turnaround for the Raiders. And Ricky certainly was doing his best to deflect from whatever has been going on at the Raiders and trying to tell everyone there's nothing to see here. I'm not sure I really buy into that too much, but I've also, having a bit of a closer look at Starling and how he went, certainly in this game.
Honestly, I think Starling and Joseph Tarpanay, like they were,
turned the game around.
They were the only two guys that were really playing. Like Sam Williams, maybe to a lesser extent as well.
Mm.
But like the Raiders really weren't doing anything except holding the ball.
Yeah.
Versus a team that wasn't holding the ball, you know. But Starling, when he came on, they were instantly better.
And you can see why
Josh Hodgson.
Yeah, that was my point.
It's a good, you know, it's a good thing.
When you can see why they haven't really gone to great lengths to make Josh Hodgson feel all warm and fuzzy when he started making rumblings about, you know, speaking out for his mates and stuff. Because, you know, the way the game is now, Starling is probably more suited to the six agains and the quickness of the ruck than Hodgson. Hodgson's, to me, has a better footballing brain. And he's got a higher footy IQ, but
when Starling came on and then Hodgson sort of moved to the back row or whatever, Hodgson was much better as well.
Yeah, like a lock sort of.
And maybe it's more that sort of role that, you know, Brandon Smith gets at too. You know, he's sort of he's hooker when he has to be, but then if Harry Grant's in the side, Harry Grant can come on and then he can go back to lock or whatever, you know. So,
can I just throw one stat out there? And the only reason this stood out to me was I don't often see this much disparity in this stat. Like, you know, somebody wins a game, obviously they're going to be on the stat sheet higher in a couple of different categories.
Yep.
Kick return meters.
Yep.
Manly. Sorry, and I'll give you the Raiders had 208 kick return meters.
Yep.
Now, bear in mind that's going to be low because Manly didn't have a great completion. They were just over 70%. Yeah. So they weren't kicking.
And there wasn't and the kicks that were in weren't long kicks because they didn't there was no long kicker in the side.
That's so. It. Canberra completed at 90%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Manly returned 86 kick return meters.
Yeah, probably off kickoffs.
For the hockey.
Although there was also a point there where there were a couple of times when they sort of put on a move right off the kickoff as well and made like a sort of half break and got it back to the 40 and everything, and just two of those and you're pretty much done, right? Like, because there's plenty of times when they made fucking zero when they dropped it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It very telling. Very, very telling.
Special shout out to Moses Suli, who went from falling asleep in his car at training for the Tigers and getting punted and ending up at Manly and is now taken to falling asleep on the field only to be woken up by the ball hitting him in the fucking face.
Oh, and it's literally guys who haven't had much game time. The Jetski and Suli combined, they must have combined for about eight turnovers or mistakes. Because Suli not only had that one, but he also had the one where they made a break down the left and he just dropped up, the pass just bounced off his chest. And that was like one of the almost turning points of the game, that particular turnover. And then you had Jetski. Suli did get one back, I mean, because he did get a good try running a good line back inside, but you know, I'm still happy to
on the socials. Nat in the Facebook group said, Raiders slapping Manly back to their 1-4 form harder than Walker slapped. ... Never mind. Yes.
Anthony, if it was that 1-4 form, they would have put 50 on.
Anthony said, on the back foot all night, Manly. Too much defence and Canberra controlled the game all night. The middle looked a bit soft. They need to tighten that up before the finals. Yeah, you're not wrong.
But I mean, like the you guys like your Jake Trbojevic and all those sorts of guys that are just like ceaseless tackling machines. That's why it's not tight. Partially.
Yeah.
We can't be talking about the Raiders tight enough in the middle because they're not going to the finals. Fucking
Solzy said, I can see your problem. Someone set this Saab to Dragons. honestly think the only thing we did really well tonight was control possession against a Manly side down on players. That was enough. And look, to his credit, Ricky Stewart, you know, he does a lot of shitty things as a coach. One thing I will give him credit for, where it's due, is he does seem to be that sort of coach that can incrementally give improvement. And so if that means that what they're focusing on to get out of this funk is possession and controlling the football, that's a viable way out.
Yeah. Get back to basics.
That's it.
The other way to look at it is it is that animated cat from that Paula Abdul film. Because, I mean, while he can do incremental improvements, he can also take fucking two steps back better than any. Like, maybe Trent Barrett's the only other coach that can creep a side forward and then just dump them back to where they started again for a net loss, you know? So
Rod_Mendoza1. On Instagram, said Mendoza. so much for the pack that's been dominating everyone, getting smashed by faders without Big Papa. There you go.
And mate, the pack fucking wasn't all there, son. Jesus Christ.
Ian said, shame on Manly for conceding 30 to a team that doesn't use its back five in any attacking play.
It's true.
And Cat Like Seven. So take out the turbo and it's just a diesel 1.4.
I'm sure we've seen that one before.
I haven't, and I love it. So
I'm sure that like that seemed, that would be the first you know, variations on a theme. That would be the first.
I'm sure that person invented that entirely themselves, and I'll hear no other words about it. That's us.
No, I know who plagiarized that shit from. Cat like, cunt like. Moving along. Two. Fucking, what day was this game on? This week, I tell you, this weekend has been fucking special, boys.
Welcome to Some Week in League.
Yeah, this is a vague fucking indeterminate period of time where rugby league took place. The Rabbitohs, 46, defeated the North Queensland Cowboys, 18, in Newcastle. The Rabbitohs tries came through Taffy, Tane Milne with a hat-trick, Alex Johnson with a hat-trick. Colin Glenn, start throwing these out. You gotta say the words.
Fuck those guys.
And Thomas Burgess with one of the easiest fucking up-the-guts tries you'll ever see. Reynolds, 5 conversions and 2 penalty goals. The Cowboys, 18, tries to Dearden, Shane Wright, Kyle Felt. Drink water, 2 conversions and a penalty goal. This one was almost a carbon copy, I think, of the when the Cowboys played Manly during the during the Origin round. It was almost the same scoreline, the same game script where the Cowboys started like really, really good and like constructed some, you know, some fucking great tries. Yeah. And then immediately proceeded to just do fucking nothing for the rest of the game.
I don't think any side's taking more advantage of this Origin period than South. The confidence that they've gained from, you know, winning these past 5 games, they've had players that have had to step up in the, you know, with the absence of, you know, Latrell and Damien Cook, Murray, guys like that. And they've sharpened against, you know, glorified training runs against teams below them on the ladder, Parramatta being the only exception to that in the last 5 weeks. So,
I wouldn't say that. I'd say that's exactly what Parramatta are.
Well, they're not below South on the ladder, was my point.
Ah, true, sorry.
Yeah. I think, you know, and let's not lose the focus of Wayne Bennett being their coach as well at this time of year. And warming them up for finals run. They've had those couple of horrible 50 burgers put on them. Mm. I still, you know, their spine, I feel, gets them into the finals, and Bennett gives them an edge. They're still a tier down from Melbourne and Penrith, but they're a fucking dangerous side when they're on.
Yeah, they are. Like, hey.
You know, with possession and field position, and they've got the forwards, and then they just seem to strip numbers so fucking well.
It does beg the fucking question, if you're Brad Fittler, like, cast your mind back to the Origin that Cody Walker played.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, at that stage, he was by far the most dangerous attacking player in the competition,
mm-hmm.
be it from what he would create for himself or from what he would open up for those outside him, like on both fronts. He was just, like, torching people.
Mm. Yep.
But he got in a state of origin, and he was in a situation where he had no one familiar around him. Like, Damien Cook was there.
Yeah, but his best work's done outside him.
That's it. But he'd go, and he'd find himself with no one. Why this wasn't an opportunity to have his number 7 there on the field with him, as well as Cook, as well as Mitchell.
Yeah.
Like... okay, White.
Maybe the perception of Cody Walker at Origin would be far different if that had been the case.
Look, the reason why they had to have done it is because they would have made an assessment on Adam Reynolds and said, look, yeah, a combination would come in and do the job for us, and we'd probably get the sweep. But going forward, Cleary's going to be, you know, he's going to be there for years, but we need to have someone else. So here's a chance with the series done where we can blood another young halfback.
Just in case.
Because Whiten's already in the squad, so he's been around him for years. So that's to bring someone else in. Because yeah, you're right. I mean, like, what won them, you know, the series, you know, was for the first time in ages in New South Wales with an established club combination as the halves. Yeah. And even the times when Cleary would run into trouble and not doing shit, you know, in the previous years, they'd bring in like a Jimmy Maloney or someone that he was extremely familiar with playing with.
Mm.
And then that's how they'd get the job done.
Yeah.
But, you know, so look, obviously, you know, Freddie or New South Wales selectors as a whole obviously just prioritised a dynasty over a sweep.
Yeah. Oh, you also, we'll say there was a period in this game where Tane Milne scored his first two tries.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and I've just given Siasa a rap for how they strip numbers, but it was like David Nofaluma had finally catapulted his toys out of the cot and taken a gig as a Cowboys defensive coach. Because, for fuck's sake, it just looked like a routine through the hands, and all of a sudden there's a fucking 5 metre overlap. How did this happen?
That's it. What you don't know, or nobody else knows, is that wing is actually code for second row.
It's more of like a sweeper between the exact middle point of the field and the at about 15 meters in from the sideline.
So if you think
anywhere between there,
if you think of a bird's wing, the tip of the wing's on the end, and the end of the wing's bang in the middle. That is your territory, Yasun.
I feel like you're taking it far too literally, David.
I deserve to take it literally.
Fucking stay in front of the cunt that you're fucking supposed to tackle. It's not hard.
And an interesting stat here for all the commentators on PVL ball and it being responsible for the blowouts. And you know, our opinion on this is quite well noted. We want to leave it a season, maybe two.
Oh no, I'm happy to call it at the end of this season. Well, that's a decent sample size.
I'm also willing to say that maybe after a full off season, that you might get more teams rise to the top.
In terms of
playing to it. However,
this
game would be considered a blowout. Yes.
Yeah.
46-18.
Yeah.
There were two ruck infringements by Souths, and three ruck infringements by the Cowboys.
Mm.
Throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
There was one inside the 10 metres conceded by Souths. None by the Cowboys. So no six agains for offside conceded by the Cowboys and one for the Rabbits. One penalty conceded by Souths and four by the Cowboys. So actual old school stop play, kick for touch.
Mm. Yeah.
I love how we call that old school.
Jeez. That to me doesn't seem like the amount of things that would have such a massive impact on a blowout.
Yeah, I mean, there's more things than just those as well. I mean, there's also like, you know, how many times did they find the line or you know, for the scrums and lock areas and things like that, because now with the scrums being sort of mostly, you know, eradicated from the game and they take the form of an instant sort of tap restart and that sort of thing. Yep. There are other PVL ball things that do contribute.
I'm saying that all the talk
this was just a good team that had their halves in place. Playing against a team that's a bad team, no matter who they've got on the field, you know, it's just the way it is. Yeah. This is the best game of the round now. I know you can do your socials, man. Sorry, I nearly skipped over. Hit the socials.
You're not missing much. Imagine South fans and Cowboys fans in a room talking to each other. really.
Comparing teeth.
Phil, there are teams where you wonder what side's going to show up each week. Looking at you, Warriors. The Cowboys are like that, but in 10-minute increments. David said, I'd whinge about South setting up a highway down our edges, but with wingers like ours, ... hashtag shithouse. Our old mate, who is one of my new favourites, just for the way he fucking took his medicine like an absolute champ, at the _sniff_test on Twitter, he said, I think Bennett has these bunnies timing a perfect run to the big dance. Only thing stopping them is injuries.
Well, then I would suggest wrapping their injury-prone seven in fucking cotton wool.
and Akadel on Instagram said drink water can go and take a shit. Oof. Which is, I've never heard in all of my years of hearing insults thrown at people. I've never heard go and take a shit.
Maybe he likes him.
Yeah, that's
it might be good for him.
Yeah, I mean, like I literally did that today, and I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel bad about myself for doing it. Like it's as an insult.
Is it? Did he indicate where he should be taking this shit, or how?
I guess out of the organisation or something. I don't
know. I guess.
I mean, like, why are you going to single out drink water when you've got Dearden in your side? I'll never know. Is that it for those socials?
That's us. Move it along.
Right. Okay, so we have the Sydney Roosters 22 defeating the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs 16 at Bankwest Stadium. The Roosters tries to Billy Smith, Satili Tupanua, Joseph Manu and Matt Kvalu. Walker, two conversions and a penalty goal. The Doggies, a double to Lachlan Lewis. Nick Meaney with the other try. Averillo, two conversions. Glennie, start talking about the game. And the end of the game, I'm sure we're going to have a great discussion about afterwards. So hold that until you've said what you want to say about the game. But because I have opinions.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Look, before we get to that point on Sam Walker, I thought he bounced back from being physically assaulted last week against the Storm. Yeah. And took another step in the right direction and, as we'll get to shortly, plenty in the opposite direction. I thought Letters and Radley had good games for the Roosters. Radley's first game back made 47 tackles and had an interesting battle with Hetherington, who just couldn't help himself and had to give one away and ended up giving away a penalty. Letters, you know, he does still brings unbridled aggression. But those games where he actually gets it right and times his runs, times his tackles and gets through his work, he's still a valuable asset to that Roosters side at the tail end of his career.
I think he was he was fading as an asset, but this year, in light of all the injuries and experience that's been stripped from that squad side,
he's had given to step
him a
up.
New purpose to step. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think the Roosters are probably another one, as I put it earlier, one of those tier two teams. I think they'll figure in the finals, but they're just not on the level of, you know, the Melbourne and Penrith, which is no slight on them given some of the challenges they've faced this year.
Can we just very quickly go through these tiers? Because you're not the first person I've heard use this analogy.
Mm.
And, yeah, like it, people are going to group teams every year, I get that. But so this year are we saying that...
It's two standouts for me.
So you've got Melbourne and Penrith as top tier.
Mm.
I'd almost go so far as to say Manly, a full strength Manly.
Yeah, I think Manly, I think Manly's the only one that can really match it on their day and can really stick it to those top two teams. Maybe not over 26 weeks, but certainly a week in the finals or perhaps a grand final. That's my opinion.
Souths have got enough points in them.
Souths, I do. I still feel like
Souths is just slightly, I don't know, they're just. They don't give me the same feeling.
So we're saying Manly are alone in tier two.
Over the last month, I'm almost revising it to say that Melbourne are almost in a fucking tier themselves. And then you'd have been Penrith have got challenges with halves out with injuries for, you know, a significant period of time.
No, let's just say.
Assuming strength and everything. Okay.
Yeah.
So Melbourne are full strength.
Melbourne been doing it without full strength too. You know, I mean, Melbourne haven't had Pappy for fucking months. And, you know, guys like, yeah, that, and you know, also along with the usual, you know, issues that they face during Origin, etc., they haven't been full strength for fucking ages either.
Mm. Yeah, but just, still, but just talking
still
about
doing,
tiers.
They're still doing their thing though, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
Melbourne and Penrith are tier one. Are Manly alone in tier two?
Look, I'd probably group them with South, but I would have them, you know, oh, you know, if I had to pick between them and South, I would pick them.
They're like 1.5.
Yeah.
Righto.
Yeah. And then you've got teams like Para, the Roosters.
Para and the Roosters, and then that's it. They're only on their own level.
Two, three, four,
because
five,
after that,
six,
you start after that, you start talking about, like, you're talking about teams.
And
like,
then you've got that like shitstorm from like, 7 to fucking 12.
Yeah.
That, you know.
And then the Sharks can win four games in a row and then lose to the Broncos.
Yeah.
And narrowly beat the, you know, the Warriors when they're terrible.
Yeah,
you've got the Warriors who are just playing terrible. You've got the Dragons. Who fucking knows what's going to happen with them because...
Like, Sheensy comes in August. The Tigers can make a late run. Sheensy, save you. Sorry, the old Glenn came out there for a second. My apologies. Put him back in his box.
We were talking before we started recording tonight, and every time I tried to talk up the Tigers as a guaranteed win in Queensland that you could watch, you're like, oh, potentially. So don't try and bring this motherfucker out on the air.
But this is the first year in a long while that there's no team that looks to me like they're going to make, you know, they're currently sitting in fucking 13th or 12th and is going to make a run and challenge any of those top four teams.
Yeah. Like, honestly,
they might make a run and get there and they'll get bashed. Sorry?
What year's that happened?
There's always one of those teams that gets 11. Into the eight and
oh, that gets in eight, not sitting in 13.
Gets in the eight.
Yeah.
At this stage of the year, they win some games, they get themselves into the eight, they've got momentum.
The Cowboys
is my point.
Make the grand final from eight.
Mm. Yeah. And so the Warriors in 2011, and the Cowboys, but the Cowboys got fucking destroyed in that grand final that they made from eighth, But yeah, honestly, I think we can all agree though. No matter how you tier those first six teams, the next 10 are tier fucking 999 for as much chance
may
they
as
have
well
to
be.
Do anything. Yeah.
Okay, that's the best conversation about this game I think we could possibly have.
Not talking about it.
However, Sam Walker at the end of the game was one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen on the football field. And furthermore, I'd like to say that even though I've got a player who, had he not been injured, would have been a strong contender for Rookie of the Year, I don't care. Sam Walker has absolutely fucking clinched and locked down Rookie of the Year for me beyond a fucking shadow of a doubt. Forever and ever. Amen. Like,
that can't win it forever.
I mean, you just know. I mean, like, look, real talk, a coach like Robbo, you know that when he got back into the dressing room, and when the cameras were off after the game, Trent Robinson in a video session, you know, today or tomorrow or whenever, Tuesday, whenever they do it, is going to absolutely kick his cunt in hard. Because, I mean, that could have been an all-time, like that English Super League one where at the end of the game where the guy's trying to waste it and he kicks
tries
the
to
ball,
kick it
try
out.
To kick it backwards and out and it doesn't go out and the guy scoops it up and scores. Like, it could have gone that badly. But it didn't. And so as a result, it was fucking hilarious. And then the Bulldogs fans, like, oh my God. Like, this is a team that's been down for years. But despite that, this particular incident, oh my God, it just drove them fucking crazy. And I'm here for the chaos. And I'm here for the shithousery. And if it happened to my team, I would be fucking furious. But if my team did it, or as a neutral, I fucking love it. And I cannot understand, unless you're a Bulldogs fan, I can't understand anyone having a problem with it.
No, that's a fucking play on.
Yeah. I saw someone on Twitter today and they were quoting Paul Kent, who said something, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have in front of me. Yeah. Was saying that it should have been a penalty because he, you know, didn't even attempt to engage the line.
No, for fuck's sake.
Hank, is that in the rules? I thought the point was you had to have to try and fucking avoid engaging the line.
Yeah, I mean, the try that fucking Tom Burgess scored, I mean, he didn't engage the line. He just fucking rolled straight through like it's...
Roger Tuivasa-Sheck has been side penaltying this entire fucking time then.
Penalty for teleporting.
Fucking hell. I mean... Okay, I get it. I get it, Kenty. Your whole fucking reason for existing is to generate outrage so people can fucking click on shit. Like, that is your fucking reason for being. And side note, what a fairly fucking sad reason for being that your entire life is dedicated to making people click a mouse button to look at ads. Because essentially, that's all you're there for.
Because they want to be angry at something.
Because you've said something so fucking outrageous, it's made people think,
I want to look at an ad.
How touched can this opinion be? I've got to click.
Yeah. That's it.
Does it? Fuck it. I couldn't believe the level of, even the level of discussion, let alone the level of bullshit it generated. Just everyone had opinion on it. Twitter went fucking nuts.
Yep.
Whatever. They've got the fucking ball. Or they turn it over or they don't. Fucking play on.
And also, you know what? If you want to blame someone, blame fucking Peter Volandis. Because you can't kick the ball out anymore and suck 30 seconds off the clock while the scrum is being formed, because now they can pick up the ball and take an instant tap restart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some of these traditional, and if he had have missed the field goal and given them a quick tap from the 20 and they'd done something crazy and went the length and scored, Sam Walker would have been the one to cop it for that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Correct.
So look, I just think fucking, I love seeing kids do exuberant fucking shit that you don't see, you see once every fucking generation.
Can honestly say, I've never seen that before.
No.
And it's not often you get to see
it. No, there was a long time ago, Tony Iroh doing it for the Adelaide Rams to close out a game against the Dragons. They're leading 22-20. And he did literally the exact same fucking thing. He didn't run as far back. He just kind of rolled back about 10 metres and sort of was just stepping side to side to get away from them.
Yeah, I remember that. But fucking 90 metres this kid runs.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Can somebody else confirm or deny for us before we sit here like fucking three old cunts? Is this a thing that happens in lower grades now?
Well, I mean, you see the games at halftime. That happens all the time in the games. Yeah, that's literally like plays the ball, one pass, and then the kid just runs back as far as he can to get around everybody and try and get down the sideline.
Yeah, that's in general play. that's a genius move.
Oh, can I just say, I just wanted, while we're talking about the Roosters vaguely, I've just seen on Twitter, on his Instagram page, SST, and Taka Aho has posted a poster on his Instagram story that says "Worldwide Rally for Freedom, Australia, Sydney. One day, everyone together, July 24th, 2021, Hyde Park, 12 p.m. #. We will all, in capitals, be there." Guess who won't be there, cunt?
I will not be there.
Because you're in fucking Queensland with your team. I love this SC too, but now he's one of these fucking ground up fucking rice flour eating, anti-vax charlatan fuckwit. So, see ya.
Oh,
socials. Look, the socials must have been popping on this game, surely. Yes.
I just want to say one thing that has become apparently fucking clear to me is people that are all about, my freedoms, like they're American. Haven't had anybody hospitalized or killed by the fucking virus. Which probably means that you don't have many contacts out of Australia. Because if you had any level of contact of person outside of this country where this thing was actually killing people on the daily, then you wouldn't be so fucking flippant about your freedom rallies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be, fuck. People are dying.
Yeah.
You know, so
try having family in South Africa and you go down for a South African man's funeral in Sydney, and three people in the 4 days that you're there, three people in their same family, extended family in South Africa, die in the 4 days you're in Sydney of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fucking problem. Fuck your rally and jam your banner up your ass.
Yeah. Even the fucking the luxury of being able to focus your mourning on one individual is gone. How's that for a fucking freedom? Dumb cunts. Terry said, fancy a Walker in a Roosters jersey being an absolute coward. Jason said, another week, another loss, but the effort from last week to this week has been a massive improvement. Our energy dropped in the second half, but we kept plugging away. We may not win another game this year, but with efforts like tonight's, it'll make the opposition have to fight harder to get the win over us. That's probably a pretty succinct sum up of the Dogs.
It's pretty fucking sad if it's the best thing you can look forward to, though. You know.
Well, it's like, it's not if they're genuinely improving
I'm
while they're rebuilding.
I'm here for your offload.
Craig said, "I'm a Roosters fan, but that was the East's version of the Trevor Chappell underarm bowling. Not a good look, in my opinion. That wasn't cricket.
Come on.
And this tonight really? Wasn't sport.
If fucking Lewis was it Lewis chasing him? If he was fucking quicker, he could have tackled him, fucking stripped the ball one-on-one, picked it up and scored.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't like he was cowardice, like running away from contact. He was running to waste 20 seconds. And however long it was, however far he had to run to waste 20 seconds, that's how far he was going to run.
I know that these two making fun of you has enough chance of working as me screaming at people on social media to change their fucking carbon footprint because the planet's dying, right? Which and I love to do that because I'm so passionate.
And you work, Dad.
But I am. What I would ask you to consider is at its base level, how is this any different to kicking the ball dead intentionally? At what other stage of the game would you kick a ball out on the full? You know, how many times do you see somebody with the ball in their end goal just turn around and boot it straight into the fucking crowd?
Yeah.
It's not
or like what they did in the scrum era when they would just drill it from, you know, they just drill it directly sideways across the sideline.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, no purpose other than to get the ball out of play.
So exactly. So you are doing something to deprive the opposition of a chance of scoring to equal the game or beat you.
Yep.
So just at its basis level. And I know this one was different and it was new, but just at its basis level. And let me finish with, I actually don't give two shits either way. Fuck the Roosters and fuck the Bulldogs.
This is one, I don't think he sent a tweet to our account, but I just think a Bulldogs game that ends, you know, the way it did, I think it'd be remiss if we didn't give the floor to GT351_Johns. who replied to my tweet, which I'm not going to worry about what my tweet said, but let's just say his reply was, talking about the Bulldogs, the club went backwards when they got involved with that BG haircut cunt that's coaching your bunch of corrupt wankers. If that fuckstick flog dog bozo bonking Desi prick never came to us, we would be better off now.
Yeah, you would. But you're not, so fucking live with it. Do something about it, cunt. Nigel said, finally, my time to add some sensible commentary of the game. Rooster's right back in the frame for the third tier competition. See, here's your tiers again. Ahead of Turbo's Hammies. Still behind second grade Elves and Souths, but a long way behind first grade teams, the Riff and Purple Cheating Cunts. So there you go. So
not far
he's
off.
Got Penrith and Melbourne first, Eels and Souths second, Manly the head of third tier.
Yeah, Eels. Yeah. There's just no way.
There you go.
I promise you that the Eels will not be anywhere of consequence.
Australia's most passionate sporting fan, at Aussie Jag, said 60-point turnaround in the losing margin versus last week. Tick. Hashtag fuck the Roosters. Hashtag fuck the Broncos.
Search for positives.
That's it.
That's us.
Finally, the Sharkies defeated the Warriors 20-12 and Net Strata Jubilee. The Sharks' points came through tries to Connor Tracy, Braden Trindle, Braden Hamlin-Ueli, three conversions and a penalty goal for Trindle. Warriors 12 tries to Reece Walsh and RTS. Reece Walsh, two conversions.
Bit of an old school gritty match between two big sets of forwards in trying conditions, I will say. One moment stood out for me in this game, and it was Reece Walsh, Estee Lauder, showing with his effort on Llewellyn when he was trying to score, when he scored. What we might have expected in Origin 2 had Reece Walsh played.
Yes.
Because I would imagine that there was going to be that sort of traffic with New South Wales attacking the Queensland line, that sort of traffic coming his way on the regular, and I'd have to say I didn't handle it that great.
And what could have been a junior Paulo hat trick?
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly.
Exactly. Saifidi, I mean, Saifidi scored one anyway, but, you know, those guys, yeah. again, that moment, and for all he brings talent and speed and attacking, you know, ability and all the rest of it, you're still going to have to make your tackles. And when you're not that big and you're inexperienced and you're playing in that position, you're going to have some rather large individuals coming your way, and you're going to have to do better than that. It's my two cents. Having said that, the try celebration from Ueli was a little bit out of the box.
I tell you, it was the best one we've seen in this this celebration to pay era. And so much so.
How much are they up to?
Total, I don't know off the top of my head. I can see Stepdad there. He's probably looking it up while we're talking. But that one, I did see Sportsbet tweet afterwards and said, you know, it was so good, they're upping it to 10 grand for that one.
Yeah, wow. Well, okay.
Oh, really?
And like, look, like the people's elbow that he did was pretty fucking half-assed. I think he could have fucking put more into it, like, you know, and made it more like what The Rock would do. But the selling on that punch, was fucking 20 out of 10. It was great. Like, to the casual observer, that would have looked like he's got up, scored a try, and just fucking
knocked his teammate out.
It was fantastic.
As well, do you remember last week we were talking about how disappointed we were that more players weren't getting involved?
Mm.
And I put out there that I wager that one of the holdbacks is that in this day and age of video reviews and bunkers and shit like that, that there would be a little voice in the back of their head saying that if you fuck it up, you'll get absolutely fucking crucified. Yeah. And then through discussion, we sort of came to the agreement and said, look, even the media aren't cuntish enough to run at something for charity.
Yeah.
Next day, the fucking Telegraph runs an article about Adam Reynolds, because he did his post-try celebration after he put his foot on the line, just crucifying him for looking like an absolute goose and being unprofessional. And
But I don't think it was the celebration that was the reason for that either. It was just because it's unprofessional for a fucking first-grade rugby league player, especially a veteran, to be so to fucking put your foot out or put your hand out or, you know, do the dead ball thing.
The hint of it was essentially he was too focused on the post-try to worry about the try.
Yeah. But and look,
I will say that the Ueli punch.
Yes.
Next week, when the Tigers play again, if the planets align, and Moses Mboy happens to score a try, he may actually knock out David Nofaluma, who threw him under a bus on social media.
And then you could just say, look, you know, like as per his defence, he didn't. He did a poor job of his part in the post try celebration.
Exactly,
that's it.
I mean, it was meant that punch was meant to just be close and look, you know, realistic. But once again, David Nofaluma got himself out of position.
But maybe Nofaluma would show up to the game drunk.
Is it an automatic send off if you punch your own teammate?
Depending on who it is.
Fuck, imagine that post-race celebration.
By the letter of the law, I mean, a punch is a punch, right? I mean, do they specify?
Yeah, exactly.
To bring up the official law.
Imagine that. Six West players run off to the sideline and pull out a cardboard bus that they've painted yellow. They drive it up. Moses Mboy picks up an offer and just chucks them under it.
Or they all stand in front of Nofa and then just voluntarily dive under the bus themselves, like he's thrown the cunts under there. Oh, a fucking shit show.
Did we say anything about the game?
No, we did. Well, mostly the defense of young Rishi.
Did you see at the very end as full time as the full time siren went? Matt Lodge, who played his first game for the Warriors and statistically didn't have too bad a match. Aaron Woods objected to something in the tackle from Matt Lodge, and he had something to say as he was getting up. Then Lodge turned and turned his back and walked away. And Aaron Woods has lobbed the ball at Matt Lodge in true Aaron Woods style with a limp wrist. And then Lodge has obviously turned around and probably said something along the lines of, this is the night you die, Aaron, or something like that. And Aaron then proceeded to, like, try and carry on with it. He had half a smile on his face. It was all a very awkward exchange, but it was extremely passive-aggressive from Aaron Woods to the surprise of absolutely no one. But Lodgy, I don't know. Aaron Woods would have been at the Tigers during that time when Lodge had that reputation as a bit of a fucking a loose cunt that before he even went to America. So I don't know that. Don't know that Aaron wants any of that. He's never struck me as much of a fighter. It's more of a lover.
He's not. He's not much of a. He's probably not much of a fighter. But at the same time, I mean, he's probably somewhat better or more of a fighter than like a fucking female German tourist is. Or like a fucking
that's fair.
New York or a New York fucking housewife 8-year old child. Like,
yes.
You know, I'm not saying like by a huge margin or anything, but
no.
More so, you know, whilst those people you've just mentioned were protected by rules or even laws to say that people can't punch them, what they didn't have was a cunt with a whistle standing there enforcing those rules at all times. And that's probably what saved Aaron Woods in this situation.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
On the socials for that one, Clevo in the Facebook group said, best post-try celebration of the weekend. I thought Ueli actually dropped him. Brackets. I've been drinking since 10 a.m. for UFC. Sharky Dave said, thankfully, Lodge Karma is real because that was closer than it should have been. And Lee, with some fucking interesting level of Warriors hate, said, Warriors are so shit, wish they would get kicked out of the league. They've made two finals in nearly 30 years. Why the Warriors hate Lee? I get hate for a lot of teams. I get
it. Remember it was Let's Go On and, you know, the Warriors were supposed to be everyone's second favourite team because they sacrificed so much to bring us a season last year.
Jesus fucking hell.
Wow. How quickly people forget.
Yeah, it's like, make the finals, you cunts.
That's it. At underscore Boo Says on Twitter, said a few months BC, which is the most fucking cuntish way to say a few months ago, if that's what indeed it is, and you haven't just typoed back. A few months BC, I was sexting a PYT, which stands for pretty young thing.
Jesus Christ. That's per Michael Jackson song on the Thriller album, I believe, if I'm remembering which album it was on.
Telling her.
He's talking about children, though, most probably. I mean, in hindsight, that song's really got some additional context now as I think about it.
He said PYT, not PLC. I was sexting somebody at Glennie School.
Oh, stop it.
Telling her things like, I'd eat it from the back. And fuck
you're
going to
be the next halfback for the Broncos.
And fuck Nathan. Her till she'd had enough. Really talking it up. Then, when we finally met up, I fingered her for 2 minutes and fucked her for 45 seconds. That's the equivalent of the New Zealand Warriors.
Oh.
Can I tell you something? If you're not on our Patreon already, you need to get on and you need to submit a question for the membersodes verbatim. How do I do better than bragging to a girl, I'll fuck her till she's had enough? That is the fucking insurance policy small print. Of sexting. Oh, we'll fucking give you adequate coverage, baby. Oh, fucking man. But no, I agree with the sentiment. The Warriors are exactly that. That's us.
Now, as we were talking, I was frantically looking around to see if I can get some sort of total. Sportsbet aren't that great on their website or social media. However, Men of League, as of the Connor Tracy try celebration in the game this afternoon, that took it over 100K or up to 100K for Mossy. So great work. And I mean, like, we've still got weeks to go. So we should get plenty more. I mean, they should easily double that and, you know, probably start approaching triple that, you would expect. Do your fucking post-try celebrations and start on Wednesday with the fucking hand grenade, for God's sake.
Yes.
If you ever listen to me, cunts. All right. That's it. That's the fucking games. Can you believe it? So I guess that's it for the episode. Thanks for listening. As always, you can catch all our social media, Patreon, all that stuff. Go to thisweekinleague.com/links, and that'll give you everything that you need to get on board with everything. Become a patron if you want to support the show. It's fucking great. We love doing the memberisodes for people. We got some other shit coming up, like the old, I don't know what it is, whatever our takeoff of Hot Ones is going to be, where we slowly introduce Glennie into the world of hot sauce. He's expressed an interest in having hotter stuff, exploring the hot sauce realm, and we're going to take
and
him
whenever
a gentle,
I, just in keeping
a gentle
with
incremental tour.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. What it's going to be is I talk to you about something, and you make a cunt of yourself, and then your mate over there chimes in and decides, you know what, you're not being a big enough cunt. I'm going to be an even bigger cunt than you. And then the one-upmanship comes in and I die. This is how it's going to work. Tune in. Should
we're
be great.
We're all going to be in the hot sauce, man. What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
that's great. You guys can handle it.
See, I am extremely happy with my role in just making him a bit better than he is already.
Why that, though? Why not at, like, more positive pursuits, Jay?
That's
my argument.
Essentially, I am the PEDs of this. I am cuntroids.
Cuntide.
Now, look, I've lost all train of thought there, but I would just like to give a thank you to some of our wonderful patrons, and Jimmy, Chimpanzee. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Been around for years and years. And if it wasn't for the fucking bat flu, we would have been having our end of season catch up at his place of work. And I felt sure that this year we would, but now New South Wales has just gone to fucking shit. Mm. And it's for the first time, like probably yesterday or the day before, I just thought to myself, it's like, fuck me, the Rona shit's going to... It's going to fuck grand final weekend again. For us again this year. And yeah. I thought, and we were talking, and like when we were talking about the memberships at the start of the year, and I was talking to suppliers and stuff, and we were sort of joking at the end of last year that the membership this year, for sure, one of the items would be like a reusable fabric face mask. And then we get to March when we're February, March, when we're thinking about what's going on.
We won't need those.
That's exactly what we were saying to each other. Look, the time's probably passed for those. Last year would have been great, but the time's probably passed.
The time? I don't think the time's ever passing. Because you remember...
I think the time is probably more like... It's worse now at this stage of the...
You love going to Japan, but obviously there was a time where you'd go to Asian... I spent a fair bit of time in Singapore and stuff like that. There's a lot of people wear masks just day to day there.
Yep.
And I remember just going, fucking, like, and you'd see the odd person in Australia and you like they were an outlier. You're like, fucking, yeah. Geez, that, like, that's fucking hardcore wearing a mask every day. This is our life now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not unusual to see, even if it's even in Toowoomba, it's not like lockdown or restrictions or mask, mandatory masks or anything like that. People still rocking them.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it. Also, shout out to Hank and a shout out to Matt as well. And I can't see your details. Your address isn't in there. So I'm sorry. You're just Matt. You didn't put your full name in. But thank you so much for supporting the show. And
maybe that is his full name. Maybe he's like Madonna.
Maybe. I mean, you'd make it, it'd be kind of hard. I mean, like Matt's, somewhat more common than Madonna as a Christian name, you'd think. Thanks so much for your support, guys. And, of course, everyone, if you want to go to patreon.com/twillnation, you can get on board. And we've got additional episodes. We're just coming up to the stage now, actually, where some of the higher tier members are going to start producing the merch that's going out to our two hot top tiers. So there's some great shit there to be had.
Getting
as well.
Your goodies.
Yeah, looking forward to that as well. And that's it. Anything else you'd like to add, gentlemen?
I'm glad this week's over.
It's been a week, hasn't it?
It has. So good. It's been a fucking lot.
A bye week to deal with such fucking terrible things. And now as you're getting over that, you can get back to having your football team in your life.
Oh, no.
To bring you joy and comfort.
My wife deciding that having a heart attack and stomach surgery and a hysterectomy in 1 week. And I'll be like, oh, fucking, I'd still rather this over watching the Tigers.
And it's the 1 week where you could, where people would have laid off you a little bit on the Tigers if the Tigers got flogged or something, right?
No, they wouldn't.
And they don't even have the courage to show up and have an actual game for you not to enjoy in a week where you could, you know, sail through without any repercussions.
I do. You know how we talk about levels, about fucking Nicklin being a fan of yours?
Yeah.
And she was at one stage, she had a grand sum total of 14 different tubes and wires hanging out of her. And at that one of those points, she was coherent, and I read your message. Said, oh, Nate wants to know how his number one fan's doing. And she fucking lifts up her hand where she's got this fucking arterial line that's like a cricket stump that's been shoved into her fucking artery. And she just gives the fucking, I'm going to say it, it was a pretty fucking lame thumbs up, but it was a thumbs up nonetheless.
is it too insensitive to refer to her procedure as a nopherectomy?
Please, we hit the punchline going.
They're going to get something and just move it very far away from where a normal person would expect it to be.
The bin.
Okay, well, what's the title going to be? It's going to be that or Cuntroids? What do you reckon? Make a decision, boys. What's it going? Which one?
Nophilectomy. Has to be.
All right.
She's immortalised. Yeah. Tell her we named an episode after her.
Oh, look, she still won't listen.
Yeah, she still won't listen. I mean, it may end up in your divorce, but
yeah, that's it.
All good. All right, boys.
All right.
Later.
See ya.
Talk to you, boys. I guess we have a quick tip for the Origin. Is it going to be a sweep or no?
Fucking oath.
Sadly, I think it's fucking looking extremely likely.
Even with Mitchell Moses, the halves combination massively disrupted.
Yeah, I think
better side this time.
Yeah, they've got pride to play for, and fucking pretty embarrassing to lose potentially 3-0 with all three games being played in Queensland. Uncharted waters.
That's like a golden sweep or something. There's going to be some term, like a diamond sweep or some shit, you know.
Something like that.
New South Wales to win, and we'll be talking all about it after the game.
Sorry. I was waiting for someone to say, righto, fuck yous.
Talk to you then.
See ya.
Boys. Both of you named.
Who are you talking to again? Which one of us?
Think come full circle. Is not saying it. Think it is. Da-da. Is not saying it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.